This podcast does not constitute an endorsement by the United States Army or Department of Defense.
My name is Ismael Ortiz Rivera, Employment Director for Soldier for Life. Let's go to business today. We have an amazing program. We are going to talk to Lisen Lightfoot and Lauren Hope about what to do with your business when you are PCS. And imagine you have to PCS 5, 6, 7 times. We were talking about that. We're going to talk about the struggles, step to make a soft transition, and how to overcome this obstacle and grow your business. That will be some of the topics that we're going to be taking. Our first guest speaker is Lisen Lightfoot. She's a writer, a military spouse, and she's a mother of 5. She's the author of several books, including Welcome to Rota, a guidebook for military families living in Spain. Good morning, Lisen.
Good morning. It's such a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for the invitation.
Thank you very much for being here. I would like to say that our next guest speaker is Lauren Hope. She's a passionate supporter of the military families. She activates change through public speaking, advocacy, and education. She is the executive director of Second Service Foundation. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, I would like to start with Lisen. Just let us, both of you, let us know a little bit about you, Lisen.
Sure. Thanks again. I'm a Marine Corps spouse, mom of 5 kids, and I've been professionally writing for the military community for about 7 years now. During that time, I've published 3 books, which are all available on Amazon, and hundreds of articles in military magazines and websites. My passion is supporting military spouses through their entire military journey, especially through the challenges of deployments and PCS moves. So I'm happy to be here representing our community and talking about that moving process.
Thank you very much. Lauren?
Hey, everyone. I'm Lauren Hope. I'm an Army spouse, still active duty Army spouse, of 17 years, getting ready to PCS next month. I am your classic example of a roller coaster career military spouse because I've been at my professional best, used to work for the Ritz-Carlton as a professional chef, and I have ridden every job up and down as we've moved. So as we're nearing the end, I finally found my dream job, but I found it through entrepreneurship. And so I know the power of entrepreneurship and the life changes that it can
The topic today, we're going to talk about the PCS when you do your business, how to PCS. And I know every one of you, they have business and they have a lot of insight to provide here. So the first question I have for Lisen, how can you prepare your business for a permanent change of station?
Yeah, that really depends so much on what type of business you're doing. I am primarily providing services as a writer. So as a freelance writer, I can kind of work anywhere that I have Wi-Fi and a laptop. But other people have a lot more inventory, or they have local clients, or they might even have a brick and mortar store that they're working with. So each entrepreneur's situation is going to be a little bit different. But I think one of the first things to look into is research your new state, because you need to know what those local state laws are. Some people might be looking at certification changes that they'll need to acquire locally, or just local tax law and sales tax and things like that. So you want to make sure that you can remain open for business throughout your move by planning out your calendar and communicating with your clients and your customers and just incorporating time for the stress and the difficulties that come with PCSing.
Okay. If this is on top of the task that the military spouse do when we're PCSing, because I recognize that the military spouse play an essential role when we are PCSing. Then the next question is, what are some of the key steps to take that we need to take to ensure a smooth transition for business?
Yeah, and my answer to this one is a little bit unique. I think that, again, when you're trying to have a smooth transition, you want to be able to keep your business open as much as possible before and after the moving process. And part of that is knowing how to register your business and how to have your paperwork complete in your local state. So one strategy that we've used that might not work for everyone, but when I created an LLC for my writing company about 6 years ago, we created it with an address in our home of record. It was not the address where I was currently living as a military spouse. And so because of that, I've always filed my LLC paperwork and taxes with that state that was my home of record. I've lived in three different states since then, but at least the LLC paperwork has remained consistent, and that allowed me to continue things on my website and continue offering services while adjusting to each of our moves. But I think it's just really important that each person be realistic about their moving timelines. PCSing definitely takes a lot, it's an emotional toll, but it also just takes a lot of time physically trying to unpack your home, pack up your home, get everything set, and probably taking time off to drive in between those duty stations. So each entrepreneur needs to be realistic about the workload that you can handle during that week or month of your PCS move. And you have to communicate that with your clients, your customers, anyone that you're serving. I use social media scheduling tools also so that your social media pages can remain active. You can continue to inform everyone about your move, and the pages still look like they're putting out professional business content, even though you might be driving somewhere that you have no Wi-Fi access at the time.
You mentioned something. It is about the communication with the clients and the customers. You mentioned about registration for business. So the registration for business, LLC, in the home of record, that's an easy way in terms of tax laws?
Yeah, and I mentioned our situation was unique because we actually purchased our home, our forever home, which is this home. We purchased it 5 years ago before my husband was finished with active duty. And so because we purchased a property, we could use that for our LLC, even though we were renting it out to people during the time. We knew that this is where we wanted to retire and this is where we wanted to be. So it's a unique part of the military timeline. Most people wait until retirement to purchase that home. But if you're able to do that, if you have a home that you've purchased at a previous duty station that you're going to be maintaining that address for a while, it's also possible to do it that way. And you can use, I think, family members or anyone that's permanently living in a state to register an LLC through their address, but you'd have to check and make sure that you had all the legal ducks in a row to do it that way. So It just keeps you from having to re-register at every state that you move to.
Lauren, we've been talking about clients, the customers. Mm-hmm. How can you communicate with your clients and customers during the transition process?
Well, first off, I love that Lizanne said, as you're traveling, take a week or a month, because I've learned through our repeated moves, we always take a month off now. I set expectations with my clients. I founded a jewelry company 10 years ago. It's moved with me multiple times through many states. And we put it out on social media early. We put out the email newsletter blast to let people know dates so that if they need to order a gift from us, they could order it ahead of our closing. I take a full month off now because I'm human and I'm really doing my best in this military life. And we let them know when we'll open again. And surprisingly, my business has grown through closing it multiple times. And I know that sounds crazy, so I'll get into that. But I just try to be transparent and publicize the plan with all of my clients. And then I guess in addition to my clients, also my business partners, right? The people I do orders through, that kind of thing. So that if I have wholesalers, they can place their orders well ahead of the move and be well prepared.
Okay, thank you very much. You mentioned something that you business growth by closing. Do you want to talk about it?
I know that sounds crazy, but it's true, because as a military spouse, I feel like I need to be all things for all people. I'm constantly trying to keep all the address changes in line, be a good mom, be a great spouse, and be a business owner. And at the end of the day, I realized it wasn't realistic to keep my business open all the time. I've literally moved with my business open and like run the business out of the back of my minivan while going across the country, right? It's not as easy to find the post offices and package the orders and get them out, but I tried it. But that said, the reason my business has grown since I've closed it is it's that sense of urgency. People can't access me during a move. I'm spending that time with my family and doing what I need to do to get through it. And so by setting those really healthy boundaries, by publicizing them and really just sticking to it. You know, every now and then there'll be a really sad story if somebody wanted a gift for someone, but I can't help you if my stuff's all packed up and on a moving truck. So it's been really healthy for our family for me to do that.
It is important to have that break, because if PCS is complicated, I cannot imagine trying to run a business when you are on the road. Listen, How many PCS do you have, and what are the, some of the strategies for maintaining the business operation during the move?
Yeah, so we've done 7 PCSs as a family. And since starting my business, I have been at four different locations. So I had to count again, in 3 different states. And because of that, there's definitely just a lot to plan out. And I really appreciate Lauren saying that you do have to set up those boundaries. I think one thing that has helped us is setting kind of start and stop dates. I don't have a physical product so much. I do sell books, but those can be mailed and shipped a little bit more easily than Lauren's handmade jewelry. But when you're offering a service, I think it's really important to communicate with your clients about the workload that you can actually take on during that time. Sometimes it's been able for me to work ahead. If I have a certain workload in a month, if I just really crank it out for the first couple weeks, that I can keep up with my monthly assignments and satisfy my usual clients' needs, then I might be able to take a few weeks off for the PCS move. But I wanted to bring up one topic, which is PCSing is always disruptive for a military spouse business. And that usually equates to a loss of income, right? Because Lauren is not making much money off of Hope Design Limited unless she's actually selling that jewelry. I know I'm not able to make income as a freelancer unless I'm actually producing a product or logging hours. And so whenever my husband gets his PCS orders, there's going to be a loss of income on my side. So one way that my family has decided to recuperate those costs is I figure if I'm going to take a few weeks off to have the house disrupted and everything out of place and not being able to meet my work requirements, then we're going to do a Diddy move, the PPM, personally procured move, where I pack up the whole house myself. My husband and I load the moving truck, and the military reimburses us for a lot of those moving costs. And that's one way that I can invest in my family and, you know, continue to make income even during the disruption of a move. So not for everyone, but definitely something to consider if you're a business owner.
So the PPM is less disrupted compared with a with a traditional PCS move packing.
I don't know that I'd say less disruptive because you need to physically pack up everything in your house, but you do. You control the timeline. You can do it on your schedule. I can start a month ahead of time with things that I know we won't need. I can leave my business items set up until the very end. And it gives us a little bit more control over when our things arrive and allows me to make money while I'm packing boxes. Okay.
Lauren, I know you told us that you have your business running while you're PCS. Tell us some of the strategies that you use to maintain that business rolling.
So the strategies I use to maintain my business through a PCS, I file a lot of the paperwork ahead of time. I know Lizanne talked about scheduling out her social media so that it can still run even when she's not present. Same idea for me is doing the paperwork ahead of time. We talk about filing with state tax office, that kind of thing. If that's all done and you know that your mail's being moved ahead, that's been incredibly helpful for me from a retail standpoint of knowing that as soon as I get to the next place that I can open up shop again. I take every opportunity to make it a social media opportunity, right? I sell military themed jewelry, you know, military are my clients. And so they get it. And it's humanizing to know that I'm going through the same exact, can I say embracing the suck? I'm living this life too. So there's something very relatable about that. And so for better or for worse, I take pictures and video along the way, and that's what we like to share. So we keep the business running, even if we can't sell product right away. But then we have people sign up for our newsletter. So as soon as we do reopen, you get the quick little alert to say, we're here again. Come find us.
Okay, that's excellent. That's excellent, including the PCS. How can you find resources to help you navigate the challenge of the permanent change of station and business relocation, Lori?
Okay, so this is my happy place now. In addition to handcrafting military jewelry, I'm now the executive director of the Second Service Foundation. So I get to help people find their next service, right? We have a lot of resources available on our website, and some of our absolute favorites, super big fan of the SBA. If you have not been to one of your the small business development centers, that should be the first place that you're going as soon as you move. So walk in, introduce yourself. These people are here to help you thrive, right? They're going to help you figure out all the local laws, what you need to be registering for, visit your small business centers. Also, if you're moving internationally, a really, really good resource that the Institute for Veterans and Military Families has is on SOFA. So if you need to look into the legalities of working overseas, they have a phenomenal guide. Let's see, licensure reimbursement. I know the NDA back in 2018 included that military spouses can now be reimbursed up to $1,000 for their licenses and the expenses that are associated with it.
I would like to say to add here is you can find the Institute of Veterans and Military Families, IVMF. Mm-hmm. You can go to their website and go in the search, and you will find some of the newsletter they have about helping business O'Connors and what are the SOFA agreements that they need to happen. Mm-hmm. Now, there are several reasons why PCS is complicated. First, it involves a lot of paperwork coordination between the different departments and agencies. Secondly, it requires careful planning and preparation to ensure that everything is packed, shipped, and delivered on time. Lauren, how can you prioritize tasks and responsibilities during the transition to minimize disruption to your business?
Set expectations. You know, we've talked about those boundaries and that kind of thing, whether it's having that pep talk with yourself of this is how I'm going to do it this time. And if it works, great. And if not, oh, well. We always set expectations between my spouse and I, because it's his job that's moving me. I didn't ask to be moved, but I'm going to do my best to adapt to his job's needs. So we always, we have a real heart to heart before we set out. And then we always AAR afterwards. So we'll look at everything that went right and wrong and kind of take notes because we know it's going to happen again.
Okay. Thank you. Listen.
Yeah. I think similar to what Lauren said, you do need to set those boundaries for yourself. No one's going to give you permission to stop working. So you have to just decide when that's necessary and best for your family. For me, it kind of comes down to that cost benefit analysis of, you know, how much work can I do this month? It's probably not going to be the same as I did last month or during my best month of the year or whatever. It's going to be a light month. And that's just the reality of a PCS move. So kind of deciding for yourself, you know, is this worth my time right now? Is this worth my sanity and my mental health right now? Trying to squeeze in one more project, one more job, one more client, you know, whatever it might be. How many hoops are we jumping through to make that happen? And is it really worth what we're being paid for that project or for that hour of service?
But when you do PCS and you get to the new station, what happened? I see Lappy. I know.
Well, for us, because we've done the Diddy moves, we usually have our moving truck coming, you know, if not the same day that we arrive, very shortly after. So I just do a hardcore week of unpacking everything, trying to get the house set up. But definitely that first week or so is very disruptive. I mean, you're literally building furniture and constructing your family's home. And so there's not going to be a lot of work that's done. Even if you're setting up your computer on the moving boxes or, you know, as soon as we get our Wi-Fi set up, which is one of the first things we do, you know, I'll sit on the floor with my computer and try and do what I can. But yeah, there has to be space for that flurry of activity. And then usually because I offer virtual long distance services, it's just a matter of communicating with clients and saying, okay, I'm ready again. Because I'm a freelancer, I do need to accept work often a month in advance. And so usually whatever I accepted before the PCS move, I have to turn those projects in right after. And hopefully I've been able to manage my time and manage my resources so that I can do something reasonable with those clients while actively pitching and seeking out more for the future.
Lauren.
I've told you all that I try to take a month off for a PCS, and that's very strategic so that when I get to the new duty station, I'm not hopping right back into work. I'm really giving myself 2 weeks at that point to register with whomever I need to register with and really get my office set up in the way that I need it. Because if I'm not efficient in my business, then I'm wasting my time and frankly, my money when I do it that way. So I would much rather take one clear week to really set up the house, to set up the office, to just feel settled. And also probably just a night off to relax amongst the boxes and say, we did it, we're here.
Are there any legal tax considerations we need to be aware of when moving your business to a new location? For example, Lauren, I would like to talk about on-post versus off-post.
So we pick our new homes very strategically each time we move, because I have run businesses on post several times before, and every duty station is different, especially depending on who your privatized housing partner is. You need to be checking in with what their rules are and what kind of business you'd be allowed to run on post. And if that doesn't fit your business, which I've grown to the point where it doesn't fit my business anymore, we now actively choose to live off post. But just because you live off post and rent or own doesn't necessarily mean it's a free for all, set up any business you want. You have to look at what are the homes registered for. Are you legally allowed to run that business out of that new location? If you're in a neighborhood, do they have an HOA? Are you going to be having clients who stop by the house? That could be against some rules. So you need to look into those kind of things.
And what about overseas, Liz?
Yeah, overseas can be a huge challenge for military spouses because we don't always get a vote on when we're going and where we're going. We did live overseas in Spain for 3 years. Full disclosure, I did not have a business at the time. My LLC was founded after that. But I was an employee on base. And I know that you still have to maintain your home of record at a United States address. You're still going to be paying taxes to, in our case, it was the last state that we had lived in, but you'd have to check whether you're paying to the service member's home of record, to the military spouse's last address, or how you're going to be setting up those taxes. But you're definitely still going to be paying taxes on your business. So just understanding the limitations of each country's SOFA agreement. I think someone has mentioned it before. That's the Status of Forces Agreement. And you can't just ask any military spouse who's lived overseas, because the SOFA agreement in Germany is different from Japan, is different from Spain. And the rules that apply to one base are not the same as another. So you really have to do your research and figure out what will be the limitations and the restrictions of having a business overseas. And like Lauren said, when you're overseas, a lot of times living on base is kind of more appealing than it would be in the U.S. You know, here in the U.S., you can live on base, off base. The difference is just a few miles or a zip code. But overseas, we're talking about an entire cultural difference and a lot of other limitations. So you need to be aware of what those business limitations are on base, because usually they do need to be registered with the housing office. They might have restrictions on who can visit you, parking, people coming in and out of the home, all that kind of stuff. So it's a lot to look into, especially when you're facing all the other paperwork and challenges of an overseas move, but it's absolutely essential if you're going to be running a business in another country.
We keep saying research, research. You know, we've given a couple of resources, but one of my most crucial resources is a CPA, and not just one, but two, right? I have one here in Colorado. We're getting ready to move to Georgia. And so it's finding somebody who's licensed in each, an expert truly in their own states, because every state's so different, and have them talk. It's okay to introduce your current CPA to your new CPA, because they're not the expert in the opposite place. So please don't feel like that's an awkward introduction. That can be one of the best things that you do for your business.
Well, there's a lot of considerations. Now, before we were talking, Lauren, about growth, how you can make the most of, you know, the opportunity for growth and expansion your business.
So my jewelry business started out as a very tiny, it was a hobby at the kitchen table when my little one slept. I realized it was going to flourish through PCSs. Initially, I was really, really scared that first time I had to move. But what I realized what happened was, I call it the deck shuffle now, where I had my core set of clients who were my greatest supporters, and everybody moved to a different place. And instead of that breaking up my business, it actually made it stronger, because all of my really good clients would then go and tell all of their new friends at their new duty station about what I was doing. And you could tell where those great clients moved. And I'm forever grateful for that. So if you remember that in the military, you're now part of the mightiest network that is out there, use it to your advantage. Most civilians that move to a new place don't have the kind of connection that you're going to have at a new duty station. Even if you don't necessarily know anyone to start, you have remarkably similar experiences. Even through surface level conversation, you can find that connection. Use it. It's been an amazing advertising tool for my business.
We're getting close to the end of the program. I would like to ask about a success story that you can share to our audience on how to overcome the challenges and succeed in moving their business to a new location. Tell us this crazy story that happened, how you solve it. I will start with Lauren.
I would consider my entire 10-year jewelry career to be my success story. And that's because I started at the kitchen table with little babies. The next duty station, I was in a leaky basement of a 1900s home. It was everything as terrible as all founder photos should look. And then over time, it's grown to the point where I've had first and second ladies and Madeleine Albright wearing my jewelry. So to say that it's gone from this to, holy cow, I've employed military spouses for years now. It's a dream come true for me, and hopefully, helping other military families along the way.
Liz?
I don't want to highlight a personal story. I think that, I'm proud of my business growth and everything, but I want to just tap into the collective stories of our community, because I think we take it for granted that we all know a military spouse somewhere who has, set up their laptop on top of the moving boxes to take a client call or to do a Zoom or to conduct a workshop. I know people who have gone to professional business events right in the middle of a PCS move, where the movers are back at their house packing up and they are out doing what they need to do for their business. And there's so much creativity and strength and flexibility in our military spouse community that just looking at those people always inspires me to know that whatever challenge I'm facing in that moment, like, man, it really is frustrating having all of this chaos around me and all of this uncertainty, but seeing all of the inspiring spouses that have gone before me and successfully continued their business has always kind of carried me through. So I really want to lean into the strength and the creativity of our community.
Thank you very much. Liz, you have a masterclass, deployment masterclass that you can, the military spouse can get trained and just find out that this process can be a little bit more easy. It's not never going to be easy, but it's going to be more, you're going to be more related. You're going to be feel more prepared in that process.
Absolutely. It's been my passion to support military spouses through deployment. I've been through 7 with my Marine, and I've been maintaining a supportive community called Handle Deployment Like a Boss for about 6 years now on Facebook. Wonderful group.
Amazing group.
Thank you, Lauren. About 8,000 members all going through deployment together. And it's really kind of my passion project for supporting our community.
Wow. So we're getting to the end of the program. What considerations do we need to take to move your business during PCS? Well, moving your business during permanent change of station can be a complex process. There are a lot of factors that you need to take in consideration, including the size, the scope of your business, the distance of move, and the specific requirement of the new locations. And we mentioned about the tax. In addition, there is a number of logistical challenges that must be addressed, such as packing, transportation, equipment and inventory, transfer license and permits, and finding the new suppliers and customers. To ensure a successful move, it is important to work with a team of experienced professionals that can help you navigate these challenges and make the transition as smooth as possible. It's not going to be always smooth, but it's going to be as smooth as possible. Listen, and Lauren, thank you for taking the time to be in our podcast. I really appreciate that you take the time not only to talk to us, be in the program, but to share the key of success, the clue of success for your business with other military spouses. Remember that with the right planning and the support, it is possible to successfully relocate your business and continue to thrive in your new location. Feel free to ask for help and reach out to the sources available to you. How people can reach you?
My website is seasonedspouse.com, and I'm active on social media as Seasoned Spouse. So please reach out and connect with me there.
For jewelry, it's Hope Design LTD on all social media. And then my umbrella company is called Lauren Hope Collective. So you can learn about all the different entrepreneurial ventures there.
Okay, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, it's been a pleasure.
Well, we get to the end of the program. I am Lieutenant Colonel Ismael Ortiz Rivera. Once a soldier, always a soldier for life.